The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
NAFTA podcast, we're back. It is episode 187. 187. I'm keeping track now. I got a good number in there. You got myself, Michael, and Nick. Dylan is probably at a one-year-old's birthday party. I feel like that's normally what he tells me. Nick, can you confirm or deny?
I have not spoken to my brother in since the last time we recorded, so I can neither confirm nor deny, and that is not the CIA version of that confirmation or denial.
He told you where he was.
I know. I just wanted to give Dylan shit. But I feel, don't give me that face. Team younger brother, is that what's going on already?
Yep.
Hate to see it. Nick, you and I got each other's back. That's fine. First things first, if you're watching this, please subscribe. Please like, please share. Please rate us 5 stars. I'm getting a little bit better at it. Michael, I might have you do this 1 week just so I don't have to do it. But, you know, if you're listening, follow us. Then you know when we post shit. So then we don't have 25 new viewers right before we're going to post another one like we did today, which is a good thing. But you should get it before all the games happen so you can hear what we have to say. Big show, somewhat packed show, because we got midweek games coming up. We're going to talk about a whole bevy of things. Obviously, there is a lot of referee and VAR controversy, as there always is in the Premier League. We're going to fly through the games. We're going to talk Manchester United and Newcastle. We're going to talk Manchester City and Tottenham. We're going to do our dudes of the week. But first, there's some other things that happen in sports. One in American football as in football, and one as in American football as in soccer, the MLS. Michael, you are in the eye of the storm for both, somewhat, I guess. I guess, yeah, Ohio State is out, but... Yeah. The college football playoff was announced. You got Michigan at 1, you got Bama at 4, you got Washington at 2, and you got Texas at 3, and you got an undefeated Florida State just sitting at home.
Yeah, it's like really, I was telling you about it, and I was like, when it happened, when it came out, I was like kind of trying to find anybody who would listen to me. I was like telling Morgan about it, and she's like, I don't give a fuck. Yeah, exactly.
Yo, it's so funny. I told Lex that too, and the most I got from her was like, "Whoa, that's crazy." And then she looked back at her phone, and I was like, "All right, cool."
And it's just a thing where I do think like Florida State would, again, I don't know, because I don't know fucking anything. I know nothing about soccer. I know even less about football. But I do think Florida State would get like smacked up by a lot of those teams, like top 6-7 teams. Doesn't matter. They didn't lose.
Yeah.
They lost their quarterback, which, you know, it says in their little thing that if key players are out, then they can make a different decision. But like, what the hell is the point of the season if you win every game and you don't get to try to win the championship? Like, it doesn't make any sense. I just think it's really dumb.
The ACC sucked this year, though. I mean, they you're talking strength of schedule, though.
Okay, yeah, so the ACC is 6-4 against the SEC this year.
And Florida State beat two SEC schools this year.
You're telling me that they're going to kick Bama out after beating the number one team and all this stuff? You can't. If you're going to put Bama in, you have to put Texas in. So it can't be one or the other. So
I think Bama should have been out.
Yeah, I think it's cowardice. I think it's cowardice to not. They're afraid of the SEC. And Nick, as a history guy, you know what happens, what could have happened if we didn't stand up to the South?
We wouldn't have gotten Tabasco sauce.
We could still, you know, be doing some bad stuff.
Exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
No, we did you see Tabasco thing?
Did you see, just real quick, one second, did you see Michigan's reaction when they announced Bama as the 4 in like their like viewing party?
No. I try to pay less attention.
I just went on Twitter and it happened to pop up. Like I wasn't searching it out, and you hear a Michigan, and they go Bama, like the room went silent. Like oh fuck.
I did kind of tell Michael I think that's the national championship game. Like I think both those teams are better than Texas. And I like Michael Penix. We talked about this earlier. I think he can win on any day. I'm rooting for Washington, full stop.
Hell yeah.
I'm a big Husky guy now. But, Nick, I will say this before we move on. Surprised at your take as someone who works with works in the school system, works with kids. Imagine one kid getting injured and every other kid gets punished for it.
I mean, did you not play sports before 2007? Like, weren't if you were the guy that showed up late, you didn't have to sit in a chair in the middle of the basketball court while the rest of the team ran?
Oh, no, we did that for sure. Jailhouse rules?
Love that. So then you get it. Then you get
also, before we go on, I just, because I'm sure this is going to get cut into a video for John to put on there, and I'm just increasing the likelihood of me not getting a dumb fucking comment from one of, like, either a TikToker or a YouTuber who's, like, chronically online. I do think those are probably the four best teams. I just don't think it's fair that you win every game you don't get to play. I think that's stupid. Yeah. If somebody comes in the comments and goes, you can't tell me Alabama's not better, I didn't fucking say that. I'm just saying, I don't think
it's UCF, but, you know, back in, what, 2017 or whatever that was? But,
yeah, but they're
UCF
not power didn't
win
five.
The ACC. Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing, though, Michael, is that you're fighting with people. You're not fighting with, like, an alumni base. You're fighting with a college that 85% of the people that are fans never probably didn't go to that college or debatably didn't go to college. And I know I'm going to be the guy getting comments now. So just know you're arguing with people that aren't really rational when it comes to that stuff.
Well, you know, if you're online at all. Yeah, if you're online at all, no one's rational. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, true. Some of the comments I got this past week, hilariously atrocious. I question
First of all,
it. Every
I
time
love
someone
them.
Says something dumb, I do too. Please keep commenting. But every time someone comments, I just question. I ask to explain. Someone called Doku a very bad name today, and I was like, all right, I got to pull this one off. Yeah, it's tough. We don't
really?
Want you to be a fan. It was tough. Tough sights. Tough scenes.
They probably just see four white guys on the screen and are like, they'll be cool with this.
Yeah.
They clearly haven't listened to our commentary over the last couple of years then.
No, and the sneaky comments that Michael and I throw in there.
Yeah.
All right, second topic for sure. MLS playoffs, we had an All-Ohio Eastern Conference final again. To Dylan's chagrin, his Philly Union got beat by Columbus. We did a pod before then. But, Michael, crazy game. I know you're in a comedy show for half of it because you're not a big MLS guy. Again, Dylan not here. He's our MLS correspondent. Cincinnati went up 2-0, 2-0. Columbus, 3 goals in response. They end up winning. They're going to the finals against LAFC. Spoiler alert. What's it like in Columbus? What are the scenes like?
I'll tell you. So we got out of the comedy show. It was like that like pop-up comedy. It was probably like an hour and 20 minutes. But we got out of there, ran across the street to the bar, had the game on, walk in. Like within 10 minutes, they score the goal in extra time. And there was, like, one table of, like, 3 people that went, like, yes. And then that was it. It's nothing else. And I know there are, like, I was not in the area of Columbus that is the soccer area. Like, they have, numerous crew bars that I'm sure so many fucking people were at and went crazy. But it is really cool because I think if they win, that's, like, two cups in the last like 4 years, right, or something like that, because they won a couple years ago.
Yeah, they get the host too. I didn't know if you knew.
Oh, because of the higher seed, right?
Yeah, that was a long pause, so you obviously did not know. Tell us how much tickets are by the end of this app. Look that up.
Okay, I don't think it's the pause. I think it's my internet's so bad that it just seems like it's a pause.
It's that Ohio internet lag. Yeah, I also have to imagine a lot of those fans just made the trip to Cincinnati and like were tailgating and whatnot.
Oh,
only
yeah.
110
yeah,
miles,
for sure.
As they kept saying on the broadcast. Nick, did you see or watch any of this game? You know the name of the derby's like Hell is Real, right?
No, after the 75th minute on Saturday, I decided not to watch any soccer for the rest of the day.
Fair enough. I totally get that. So yeah, the Derby's called Hell is Real. It's because on the highway between Columbus and Cincinnati, they have billboards that have all 10 commandments, and then at the end it says hell is real. It's kind of crazy.
I've done the Philly to Pittsburgh drive, and there's pretty similar signage as you make your way out.
Yeah, depending on which way you go. All right,
It's more of have you called God today? When you drive, do the Pennsylvania drive.
For sure. Drum roll, please, for the prices here, Michael.
Nordeck, which is like, it's not the highest up, but it's the highest up available tickets. I want you to guess. Give me, just throw a price out there. What do you think?
Well, you said the Nordecki. That's like the supporter section. I got a feeling those would be expensive.
Uh-huh.
Like $120?
$120?
Yeah.
Higher.
Really? It's $180.
Brother.
Really? $240?
I'm on Ticketmaster, where they're at.
$240?
You're not... At this rate, it's going to be the whole pod. $1,079.
At Alexi Lalas, I'm never paying that. I'm not paying more than $50 for an MLS ticket.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Damn. This really shows you there's not much to do in Columbus, Ohio, I guess.
Especially when you're not in the playoffs.
True. Shout out, though. Go Crew. We're pulling for you. I don't really like LA. But, you know, yeah, go Crew. Them. So... all right, that was the non-soccer roundup. Let's get into our dudes of the week. We have three different results. Michael, you were the only one here with a dub. Nick, you got an L. I drew, but my team played so bad that it might as well have been a loss. I'm going to go last. Nick, you can go second. Michael, lead us off. Your first dude of the week.
All right, first dude of the week. If I wouldn't unplug my headphones if I got up and grabbed his jersey, Alexis McAllister, absolutely fucking piss rod past Burn Leno. I was telling John the performance from Burn Leno today has to be the best four goal concede performance I've ever seen, because none of them were his fault, even though he did have an own goal technically. But the Alexis McAllister goal was just crazy. So fucking good.
Fire.
I'm gonna take Bournemouth, the whole team, the Fighting Craigs, the Cherries. I mean,
yeah, let's go.
The whole Cherries, baby. 10 points in their last, out of their last 15 in their last five matches. They are slowly creeping their way into a little bit of a more comfortable position. So, good for them. Go Craig.
Yeah, go Fighting Craigs. Bournemouth, fun team to watch too. We were talking about that in the group chat for sure, especially over the past 2 weeks. My first one, Anthony Robinson. Michael, you mentioned it. Best Burn Leno performance by a keeper who gave up four goals. Anthony Robinson was actually the player of the game. And he is the only U.S. men's national team player to record an assist in three consecutive Premier League appearances. So shout out to Jedi.
Shout out Jedi. Dumb fucking name.
Real dumb name.
I hate it. I just hate it so much.
And then my second guy for round two here. I did watch the Columbus Crew game, the semifinal game, and it got turned on his head when Jacob Gressel went in. He's been in the MLS forever, but had an assist, was creating a lot on the right hand side. And again, I'm a playoff NYCFC fan, but I know good ball when I see it. Pause. And he played good ball. So shout out to Jacob Gressel. Not Jacob, is it?
Julian.
Fuck, Julian Gressel. Yeah. Big MLS pod here. Big MLS
pod. I know good ball. I know good ball, good player when I see him. Gets the name wrong. That's on brand.
It's all right. Nick, who you got round two?
I'm taking Vincent Kompany, and I am retracting my statement from last week. Vincent Kompany has earned himself a job into 2024 with a nice big W for Burnley.
He's still hot seat. He has to still be hot seat. He can have this week. I'll give him this week.
I like the call, though.
Earned himself into 2024. He will be able to celebrate New Year's knowing he's going to get a paycheck for at least one more day.
Love it.
I misunderstood. Yes, he. I think he'll get to the new year too.
Oh yeah, no, not the end. I think I said last week he won't make it until I gave him like a week or two or something like that. But yeah, I retract that.
All right, I got Juan Hernandez. Not Juan Hernandez. He was the player of the game, but he is not who I wanted. I have Christian Ramirez, who scored the game winner. Juan Hernandez assisted it for the Columbus Crew. Shout out to them. I'm unfortunately going to be heading to Indiana Friday, so I probably won't get to watch that one either, but hopefully they bring it home.
You won't get to pay $1,000 to watch it either.
No, I would never. Yeah, that's crazy. Absolutely not. And then last, I know it's been a little bit of a bumpy start. He hasn't been playing a ton, but he's absolutely lovable. Great follow on Twitter. I'm not calling it X. Absolutely refuse. He's just a lovable guy. Wataru Endo with that goal to tie the game up. He always like tags the tweets with like, we keep working hard or like always working hard, and everyone just like does like the little hard eyes because it's so cute. He absolutely fucking lit Anfield on fire today, so shout out to him.
Wataru Endo, no one would have expected him to be a grind set guy. Love it.
Absolutely.
Keep working hard.
But he has a mouth guard. You didn't think he was a grind set guy?
Yikes. Yeah, that's tough to see.
It is what it is. He got it customized for a Liverpool post on Instagram. And everyone was like, "Fuck yeah, this guy's gonna do it."
My dude was probably like, "You have no idea how much it cost to wear these braces when I was younger. I'm not fucking these up."
Absolutely,
would make our mother proud. Nick, round three, who you got?
Before I pick, I'd like you to answer me a question. What do all people? The most basic, simple thing that all people crave in life is what?
Partnership.
Michael?
Partnership.
Love.
Consistency.
Okay.
People love and appreciate consistency. And after the weekend I had as a United fan, I have to say I found consistency and comfort and companionship in Roy Hodgson and Crystal Palace with a hard-fought 1-1 draw to put themselves where they belong in 12th place. And that gave me some solace this weekend after a very difficult weekend of fandom.
It's hilarious because I feel like if you asked any Crystal Palace fan how they would describe their season so far, inconsistent might be the third word.
100%. But it's 2023. I'm going to make the facts work for me. So
yeah. True. I like it. Alternative facts are still big in 2023, Nick. I appreciate that.
It's a real fact. They're in 12th.
Truly. Look, my third pick, I'd never picked these guys. I don't know what came over me, but it was the catalyst for me to gain some ground this week in our predictions. Shout out to Dwight McNeil. Lone goal for Everton. 1-0 win away at the City Ground against Nottingham Forest. We talk all the time about how it's hard to play there. Like I said, I don't really think Everton's that good. I don't know why I picked them, but by God, that was a big win for me because no one else picked him. So I'm gaining some ground here. Dwight McNeil, shout out to you. Dudes of the Week done and dusted. You love to see it. Let's jump into our fly-through games. Like I mentioned, you're going to get a double dose of Manchester in the deep dive. We got the United-Newcastle game to talk about. We got City and Tottenham. I can't wait for that, obviously. But first, Arsenal 2. Wolves 1, Saka in the 6th, Odegaard in the 13th, gave Wolves a 2-0 lead. Cunha got one back in the 86th, and Wolves made a push at the end, but unfortunately fell short. Arsenal with all 3 points there. Brentford 3, Luton Town 1. Mappe and Meeb with the first two goals for Brentford. Brown got one back for Luton Town, but Baptiste put it away for Brentford. 3-1 win. Burnley, like Nick mentioned, shout out to Vincent Kompany, but also shout out to 5 Burnley goal scorers, Rodriguez, Larson. I had a roll going and it got fucked up. Amdouni.
I got you, don't worry. Amdouni.
Yep. Kalisho.
Kaliosho
and Brownhill. That's an easy one to end on. There you go, baby. 5-0 win for Burnley. Big 3 points there against Sheffield. Forest, Everton, like I mentioned, a 1-0 win for Everton. Dwight McNeil with the lone goal there, my third dude of the week. Bournemouth 2, Villa 2, a big draw for the Fighting Craigs, like we mentioned. Semenyo in the 10th, Bailey tied it up in the 20th for Villa. Solanke in the 52nd, and they would have gotten all three if it wasn't for Mr. Consistent, as Nick mentioned, Ollie Watkins in the 90th minute. Chelsea 3, Brighton and Hove Albion 2. Enzo, Michael, you called him out last week. No goals in the Premier League. Got his first two goals in the 17th minute and the 65th. Buonanotte tied it up for Brighton, though, in between those. Cowell in the 21st, so I'm all over the place, and that's incorrect. Pedro, 90 plus 2. All you need to know is that Chelsea won 3-2 against Brighton and Hove Albion. Liverpool, Fulham, crazy game. A 4-3 win for Liverpool. Burn Leno with an own goal, but, I mean, deep down, we want to give it to Trent on a free kick for that one for the first goal of the game. Harry Wilson tied it up in the 24th. McAllister with an absolute screamer in the 38th. Tete, right before halftime, got one back for Fulham. Endo, like we mentioned, it was in the 87th, but wait. Bobby De Cordova Reed actually scored in the 80th to give Fulham a brief lead. And then Trent in the 88th, just a minute after the Endo goal, scored the game winner. Trent's on fire right now. Still can't defend. Love it. West Ham 1, Palace 1, Kudus in the 13th, Edouard in the 53rd, gets Palace in 12th, like Nick mentioned. Crazy week. Michael, I'll allow you to comment on my Trent comment there in a second, but first let's start Arsenal Wolves. Valiant effort by Wolves, right? That's all we really got to say towards the end.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't... I think I literally said last week, again, it's just the comments are so good, that it's either Arsenal's like gutting it out or they're, you know, they have to try to figure something else out. And for early on in that game, it looked like they kind of took the form against Lyon. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Okay. And brought it over to the Prem and were beating Wolves. And then just nothing happened after that. Just disappeared. And there were a couple chances like Wolves had to tie the game after they had scored the first goal. I just think, like, defensively, that's probably the team that we had to be like, they might not give up 15 goals, but not you guys.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that in a second. Three points for Arsenal. Brentford beat Luton. I don't think there's much to say there. Not shocked by that. Luton's not very good. Brentford's still not very good without Tony, but they got the win there. Nick, Burnley 5-0. I'm a big Vincent Kompany fan. I think deep down you're probably not as big as I am. That's totally fine. But are we impressed by Burnley? You jumped on here and asked if they're a wagon now.
No, not impressed at all. Like, I would love to see the Sheffield United guy from the Wolves podcast now. That roller coaster of emotion of a couple of weeks. But Sheffield's terrible. And down the 10 men. I mean, in the, you know, basically right before halftime.
Yep.
It's if you're playing Sheffield and you're not putting these numbers up a guy, you don't have deserve a chance at all. But yeah, Sheffield's terrible. We think, and we are being proven right, worst team in the league. And yeah, I think Burnley got to, you can really go have some fun and attack and go nuts. So, but Burnley, still not great.
I think that's proven out. Michael, Everton 1-0 win over Forest. Still first in the relegation zone, right?
Almost out, though.
Points. Almost out, but because of the 10-point deduction. As a known Everton hater, what's your real feel on this team?
Really good away for some reason makes no sense when they're not at Goodison. Yeah, when they're not at Goodison, they're a lot better. I just want to backtrack real quick though, because the name for the guy for Burnley, Luca Colioso, you know he's American, right?
Yeah, I did. The type on here is really small. My eyes are really bad, so blame that.
Okay, got it. Yeah. So
I got a LASIK. Actually, if you need one.
So do I.
Yeah.
Everton, let me get back on track for us. Everton,
bring the train back on here. Come on.
I actually think it should have been a draw because Doucouré, we'll get to the VAR stuff, but in this instance, Doucouré literally pulled somebody down in the box. We've seen it, you know, against Man United and who are you guys playing that Haaland got pulled down by? It was Chelsea. Because it was Cucurella. I was like, okay, they're going to review it. They went to VAR. They didn't overturn it. And I sent a text. I was like, so we can't keep calling these now, because this was worse than definitely the United one, like definitely the one on Rodri. Probably not the Cucurella one, but it was so obvious they didn't call it. And, you know, I think pretty soon after, like, McNeil got that goal and Nottingham Forest, like, had some chances here and there. But yeah, Everton is, there's no shot they go down. I mean, they're actually not a bad team right now. And I'm sticking by my 25 to 30 points. They would have to be deducted to go down this year.
Yeah. All right. We've mentioned it multiple times. Bournemouth 2, Villa 2. I'll give my quick thoughts. It's hard to win on the road in the Prem this year. We've said it every episode, I feel like. Bournemouth, not a bad team. I think they had a really bad start. And honestly, Villa was flying so much that a bump in the road was going to happen. I'm not reading too much into this, to be honest with you.
Yeah. No. Agreed. Yeah, go ahead, Nick. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Villa has struggled. If anywhere, they've struggled away. And Everton and Bournemouth is a team that's in relatively decent form, obviously, for them. I think it's just a good. I think it's just a good match, good game. And I say honestly, probably a positive result for both teams.
One of the Villa guys I followed did say it's the first game he saw where the midweek matches are catching up. You can kind of tell. Yeah. So that's probably what's going on. Michael, I know you got a lot to say about this one. Chelsea 3-2 against Brighton. Are we going to start the VAR now?
This can be... I mean, this is the one that I think overall, I think you could make a really strong argument that they, and Nick would agree, they re-refereed the Milner foul. I don't think so bad. I think, again, it's a situation where if it's called a penalty on the field, you're like, okay, fine, you know, whatever. And a lot of times they go, stick with what's on the field, even, you know, because it's not obvious because of this and that. And it was just a matter of absolutely we're going to, like, take this one case scenario and we're going to just redo everything and call it a penalty. I thought Casado could have been sent off. He was fouling the shit out of everybody.
For the fourth pod in a row, Casado's not good right now. Could be in the future.
He doesn't look good.
Win a hedge.
Yeah. Let me protect myself here.
Absolutely.
Right now, not a good guy.
But then, I mean, you texted us like at the very end. What the fuck are they doing? Going to VAR, going to the monitor, pointing at the spot, and then getting when they realize it's not a penalty, they just give the ball to Robert Sanchez when it was clearly a corner.
The refereeing this week, it's
too shit. It's too bad. They don't know what they're doing.
They can't suspend everybody. I mean, you have to have someone referee it at some point.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we have a.
I mean, honestly, give some of the women a chance at this point. Like, they talk about all the progress they're making. Like, no, I'm serious. Like, that's not meant to be like, hey, like, they like, oh, we brought up our first women's linesman, you know? And, well, you have people from the WSL, or no, the, whatever they NWSL. Call them. Whatever they call the English, the Super League. They call it the Super League, wherever it is. Like, bring some of them over. Like, screw it. Like, let's just start, who cares? If they're good and consistent, who cares where they're from? Just do it. It's terrible.
We're going to have the recurring trophy. I'm going to get something made. It's just going to be the Anthony Taylor treatment, the Anthony Taylor Award, where I'm just going to start relegating these referees to the championship.
Well, you can start with Craig Pawson. That's who was here. I know we're going to talk about the guy for the City game. But, Michael, you mentioned we're going to get to the thing that happened in the City game too. This was a little bit more egregious because this was a layup call. Like, it was like, oh, it's a corner. Let's give him the corner. And you just couldn't get that right. So
it never hit his hand. Like, it would have taken you a second for VAR to be like, yeah, it didn't hit his hand.
I actually have to commend the announcers to be like, they're keeping it together as best they could. But they were even like, what are we doing? Like, what? Like, where? Yeah. Why are we going to the thing here? So
yeah, it was horrible. Like, that one was just, again, not super like. Impactful necessarily because it wasn't going to be a penalty. It could have been a corner. They could have scored on that. Instead, they just gave it to Sanchez, like I said. But it was something that was like so easy to call. and they just fucking forgot. They didn't, like, they're supposed to be talking about communication, all this new communication shit they're doing. It seems like they still can't communicate.
Yeah. The one thing I'll say is, and then we'll move on, Brighton did score from a corner right before that, pretty much. So,
Right.
Give him a shot. Michael, I'll give you the Nick treatment. 30 seconds on Liverpool. Thrilling match.
Tsimikas was probably the worst I've seen him after he was played really well against City. Van Dijk, I think, was fine. Matip, too many passes, just errant all the time. I think the first goal, like, it was a bad pass. Him and Mo couldn't communicate.
Yeah.
Like I said, nothing on Bern Leno. Great performance. Couldn't do anything. The four best goals I've seen in a while from us. Usually it's a breakaway or it's a, you know, kind of like a end line pass back type of stuff. Those were unbelievable. McAllister, Endo, first goals for the club. Let's just not put in that performance every week because we will fucking lose for sure. Some teams will beat us. We're lucky Fulham's not very good.
Fulham crafty though. Tough out today.
For sure.
And then 1-1 for West Ham Palace. I don't think there's much to say there. West Ham needs to win this game at home, I feel like. I think if they're in ninth place, which they are, this is a better team. These are games they got to win. But Palace is not going to get relegated, and they're not going to get into Europe. They probably won't get in the top 10. They are the least offensive team, and by offensive, I don't mean offense. I mean, like, we can probably never talk about Palace again, and it'll be a pretty good roundup on the season for them.
Yeah.
To be honest.
I also just want to point out, I was wrong as shit on Enzo Fernandez, but last week I did say, like, Mohamed Kudus is pretty legit, and he scored again. So, yeah. I'm 1-2. 1-2.
Sorry. All right. Newcastle. 1. Man United. 0. Anthony Gordon is back again. No, John. He does not play for Everton, like I mentioned last week. He is in form for the Geordies. The lone goal. A game that, if we're being honest, Michael, you mentioned this in the group chat. We said it to Nick. It looked like you guys just got off of a 3-hour bus trip.
Let's see how many adjectives I can list off about everything without screwing up, mispronouncing a word, or using a word that doesn't mean what it means. listless, an abomination, effortless, pathetic, disgusting,
disgusting,
vomit, shite, excuse me, to connect correctly. It's I get it, the 3-hour bus ride, but, like, you left at 11 a.m., you got there at 2 p.m., you had 6 hours of, like, and it's not like you're sitting on a stinky-ass school bus that I'm sure we've all sat on feeling nauseous, you know, when there's, you feel every little pebble of the road. Like, you're on a coach bus with brand new Beats headphones and probably, you know, like, getting fucking foot massages, you know, from the team masseuse or whatever you want. That's not an excuse. That's pathetic. Like, I'll save the rant maybe for a little bit later. So I had, like, one thing that really drove me nuts, and it wasn't really about the game. But if you're going to show up like that, then just don't even bother. Like, just don't even bother. Like, Tony Martial looked like, you know, they say Messi looked like he had the ball on a string. He looked like he had the ball in a pinball machine, which was his feet. Like, Marcus Rashford just stands there, and he's more useful as a used car dealer with the wavy arm things, you know, in the parking lot.
Well, I mean, the only person for the two men.
Yeah, like, the only person that played well, Harry Maguire's our best fucking player. It's like, it's pathetic, and we're relying on an 18-year-old in the middle of the park who's crushing it. Like, playing his ass off, but Scott McTominay was back to his old shit. I'm just gonna stop because it was honestly, like, genuinely embarrassing to watch that game. Absolutely embarrassing.
You touched on a few things that I got to see some content on, some online Manchester United people talk about. One, let's start with Tony. We know your thoughts on it. You saw him yell at Erik ten Hag. What has to happen to get this guy finally out of your club?
Throw him off the bus while you're driving to the next game.
Damn. We don't want anyone to get injured, but yes, that's a great idea. Other one, Rashford. Does he not want to be there anymore?
You know me. I'm a huge Rashford guy. I don't know what's happening with him. 40. I just don't. I mean, I saw stuff the other day. It's not. This might be. I think it was Gulbridge that said it. You know, it's not a dip. You know, last season was an uptick. That was the exception to the. Yeah, that was the exception to the rule. Like, what are we doing, man? Like, what are we fucking doing?
Did you ever think that at this point in the season you'd be singing the praises of Harry Maguire? Yes or no?
No. I mean, why would I ever think that? I
don't know what dumb question. Of course not.
Yeah. All right. And then my last one, which I actually think is a little bit more insightful. And Michael, I'd love to get your thoughts afterwards too. Amrabat. Has he actually made any type of impact on this team yet?
No. When he first got there, a good thing it's just a loan deal, you know? Even though it's like a $4 million loan deal or whatever the fuck it is. He was like playing wing back or something. I just don't think how their setup is like built for him currently. Because, you know, like, the player he was for Morocco is, you know, was unbelievable. I think, and again, you can talk about all these players. I agree with the Rashford thing. We're going to start having to ask the question of what the fuck is Ten Hag even doing? Like, what is the idea? What is the process? Because I was watching this game, and the one thing I noticed most of all, other than, like, the white and black shirts of Newcastle just running around everybody. Joe Linton absolutely just dominating anybody that was near him all the time, every single moment of the game. They had people running through constantly. They had every single pass. They had options all the time. Every single pass for you guys had to be perfect for you guys to get through. Otherwise, they just crushed you. They took the ball off you. You guys had no shot. I just don't know how that's sustainable. And I don't know how that is an improvement. And I know that there's injuries, and Newcastle's, you know, injury-ridden too. I think this is the third game in a row this exact starting lineup has played. And the first game, all of them played up to 80 minutes, and then it was 4-1 against Chelsea. He subbed a bunch of them out. They played the whole game against PSG, this exact team, and they played the whole game against you guys too. So, you know, I'm sure they're beat. I'm sure they're tired. Joe Linton didn't look like he was tired at all. He was going after it. But I just don't think, I think at some point, you know, Amrabat's just got here, essentially. I don't know if he knows what he's supposed to be doing. And I don't know if a lot of these guys know what they're supposed to be doing.
Nobody knows what they're, I mean, like, and the fact that we still had a chance, you know, and, you know, unfortunately Harry Maguire did everything he could to get out of the way, you know, like, we still, and all of a sudden for the last 10 minutes, you get a draw and everyone's like, oh, it's okay, we got a draw at St. James Park. No, it's not okay. Like, it's you're a privileged individual to play for any professional team. Like, let alone, you know, the club that you were born up growing up and all those things. Like, and you're just going out there, you're just hanging out. Like, it's pathetic. Like, it's a privilege to be in that position. And they don't act like it. But I was looking at something too, like, at least with Ole, like, we had some pretty bad moments with him. And obviously, you know, the whole PE teacher stuff they joke about, but like, dude, at least we play with some heart and like would go try to score, like go and attack. Like, at least there was a little bit of that. Like, I when you said today, John, and I'll let you go after this question, when you said, oh, we're begging for, you know, I hate the fact that I have to like wish for a pen, you know, like, towards the game. I mean, that's 90 plus minutes. Like, I'm literally the Michael Scott. I'm literally Michael Scott. I'm ready to get hurt again every time I turn the TV on because I don't know what to think anymore.
It's an interesting point you just made, though. Like, it does feel like if you look at both these teams in this game, it was a tale of two different mindsets for their manager. Like, I feel like everyone, like, to your point, Michael, Joe Linton would run through a wall for Eddie Howe. And I think when you had Ollie, there wasn't as good a talent there. And Ollie may not have been as good of a manager, right? But they wanted to play for Ollie. They had fun. You know, I don't know. Like, that's an easy thing that I thought and I picked up. Closing stat. Since you beat Newcastle in the EFL Cup final, 3 games, 3 losses, 6-0 on aggregate. And I'll let you go and get us out of here.
Yeah, I mean, first off, let's give Newcastle credit. they were awesome. Like, they were, like, I don't want, this isn't one like, oh, United played terrible. I mean, they were awful, but Newcastle was awesome. No, this is what really drove me nuts, to get all the notifications after the game. Can everybody stop writing, they're so far off winning the league? Like, shut the fuck up. Just shut the fuck up. Like, we know. We get it. Like, we know. They suck. Like, I just want to make top four. Like, in which is, that's a stretch in its own self. But quit it with this. Yeah, we know. Get some new content, have a brain of your own, and write about something useful that people want to consume. Not the same horse that you've been kicking for the last decade. Sick. It popped up. I almost threw my phone against the wall. I was so angry. I was like, what do you think? We are idiots? I could keep going. Nobody needs to hear this.
All good. Times have definitely been better at Man United. Good point, though. Get us out of here with this. Newcastle win against United, played really well. The draw against PSG should not have been a draw. They played really, really well there. And then that win against Chelsea, 4-1, right before that, good win as well. And it came off the back of that 2-0 loss to Bournemouth and the 2-0 loss to Dortmund. In all honesty, I think that they need to hope they either drop out of Europe or get into the Europa League if they really want to. I think they don't have the depth yet. And they're going to be an interesting out in the Premier League if they get out of Europe. All right, game of the week. Can't wait to talk about this. City 3, Tottenham 3. I thought the curse of Tottenham was going to be lifted. This game was at City. It wasn't at Tottenham Stadium. They're going to play at the half-field mark. We're going to score 7 goals. We kind of should have. But ends in a draw. Son in the 6th for Tottenham opened the scoring 1-0. He gave it right back 3 minutes later on an own goal to tie it up. Foden in the 31st gave City the first lead of the match. Lo Celso tied it up in the 69th. Grealish got it back in the 81st. You would have thought a normal City team would be able to put that away. Kulusevski in the 90th minute sees both of these teams sharing the points. It's always tough to like run through what happened and then give my thoughts right away. But look, this is coming from a place of privilege, a word that Nick just used. But this is the most frustrating Man City team I've watched in the past 10 years, I feel like. Just so much talent, creates a lot of opportunities, don't finish the opportunities, can't put away a game. There's a lot of things I think Michael's going to bring up in here when it comes to VAR and whatnot. Yeah, it was bullshit and they sucked and whatnot. The thought that I had that I wanted to share with you guys was there was a big shakeup in the Premier League this season with Saudi Arabia having money, right, and people leaving. Michael, your team lost their captain for the most part, right? You had enough personalities on the field where you can probably tell me there's instances where you miss Hendo, but it feels like it's not as big of a hole as we'd expect. This was the first game where it really dawned on me that Gundogan in the middle of the pitch was the missing piece. And I think it was the fact that there is a lot more ability to calm things down. I think that last year he did a really, really great job of kind of keeping calm the front line, to be totally honest, to not give the ball away as much. And I think when Haaland gets pumped up and whatnot, he kind of makes some weird decisions every once in a while. But I really missed Gundogan in this one, and I think that may be the difference this season, to be totally honest with you. We're still obviously going to have a really, really great shot to win the league, but with the fine margins that there's been for the past 5 years in winning the league, it could come down to losing a former captain, especially in a place like the midfield where he can patrol and he can talk to people and he can calm people down, is all I'm going to say. So we can get into details now if you want to, but that was my original thought.
Nick, do you want to go or want me to?
You can go first.
All right. Defensively, I mean, it's going to go down as like Southampton going to win the league levels of just stupidity at the beginning of the season. We ever thought you guys were going to be like unstoppable defensively. You guys right now, and maybe Stones has to get back, or maybe like Diaz just has to step up, or somebody, you guys are so soft on defense for some reason. I don't understand why. You guys can't put anybody away, which you mentioned, obviously, because you had more than enough chances to put them away. And there's just, like, a level of, like, wanting it that you guys don't possess right now. And, like, I watching Spurs, every time they got the ball, you could just see that they wanted to score a goal. Even when it was 3-3, they were like, let's go win. And you're sitting there going, like, you're away. You have no back line, essentially. And we've mentioned it before. And, like, they didn't play great. They gave up 3 goals, you know what I mean? But, again, it's just, they just didn't care. They're like, this is how we're going to play. Kulusevski, gritty. I think you mentioned that he's kind of a dickhead a little bit, kind of aggressive. I just don't think you guys have anybody that can match that. And then, you know, it's one of those things where I think, you know, me especially, and other people would kind of give Sterling a lot of shit. They said that he, like, you know, tapped the ball in a lot of times, like, when he was on the team, and the way you guys play. That's the best version of you guys, though, is that the ball just ends up in front of the goal at somebody's feet, and they tap it in and you score. You guys, like, Doku's incredible, Foden is incredible, Haaland is great. I think you guys are just too, like, individualistic right now, not in the sense that, like, Haaland's like, I want to score the goals, or Foden's like, I want to score the goals, but just... you're relying on somebody to do something great as opposed to, like, the system right now is being incredible, which it usually is. You guys are usually, like, a very system team. And, you know, when it works, it looks great, and Doku is unbelievable. But, you know, if he crosses in 15 balls and none of them go in the back of the net, then, you know, who cares?
So that's interesting. The Foden goal was textbook. That's like what you're planning for. It was tiki-taka, it was textbook, it was a tap-in, et cetera, et cetera. I totally agree with that. I've said multiple times on this pod that Julian Alvarez has bailed us out in instances because he just takes a wonder shot outside the box and it'll go in. And that's not how Pep likes to play. That's not how he likes to run his team. I think you also brought up an interesting point. Rodri, if you look at our midfield, we're putting a center back in midfield right now, or a defender in midfield, because I don't think that we have the body. Like, and I don't mean bodies as in depth. I mean, we don't have the body as in... Gundogan did so much, and you view it offensively. But even though he looks pretty small in stature, he knew where to put his body to knock someone over, knock someone off the ball, get a interception, get a steal, get us back in the transition. Bernardo, Foden, Doku, Grealish, Julian Alvarez. It's a lot of hustle. It's a lot of moving. It's not a lot of defensive mindset is what it feels like to me. And I could be totally wrong. I'm not a tactician, right? But that's what it feels like to me. This is one of those instances where now I'm understanding we're putting that defender in there, because if you really think about it, when we had Fernandinho, it was... I'm going to foul you once at the beginning of the game so you don't come to this area as often or don't come the same way. And we don't have that intimidating factor. We don't have that dirtiness either that Kulusevski, I think, kind of had today. But, like, we don't have a mindset right now that is going to win a title in anything, not even an EFL Cup. So it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think the two things I took away, and I want to come back to playing your midfield there, John, in a second, but I think Tottenham's, we'll talk about belief in Tottenham, but their ability to just sit there and absorb, and then anytime they looked to counter, it wasn't like, oh, counter, okay, you know, they broke down. It was counter, and there was a legitimate chance every time. Like, every time. And that was just, it was a fun game to watch in that sense, but the question I guess I have, talking about Michael, bringing up the defense and stuff, is how much does your defense suffer with Kevin De Bruyne not being there? The ability to possess the ball in the middle of the park, or how much does he mask or have the ability to cover those, just the porous nature that they've been so far in the last few weeks?
So it's interesting because Michael brought this, we talked multiple times today, and you actually brought up a thing that we should talk about. Like, when De Bruyne gets back, it's crazy to say this, but A, you're not expecting him to be 100% as to where he ever was. I think the leg injuries are actually kind of catching up to him at this point. And I, please prove me wrong. I would love to be wrong on this. But B, like, if he comes back, we have to change how we've been playing. Like, the tactic, I think. I don't think you could play this 3-2-4-1 with him. I could be wrong, but I just don't, I don't feel like that's going to be the answer. That's going to be how we set up. And I do think that there is a little bit of that. I do think there isn't as much confidence, and there isn't as much, like you're saying, Michael, playing as a team with some of these midfielders as there have been on other City teams that we've had, where I don't think we're confident that we're going to hold possession and create a chance or create whatever, and then we give the ball away in dangerous scenarios. The second goal for Tottenham was an interception in the middle of the field off of a header that went directly up the middle, and it was a two-touch shot that Ederson couldn't save. Like, we give the ball away in stupid positions, and that's usually how we play defense, is let's get into a position where we're not going to be vulnerable.
Yeah, you guys, that one in particular is just a matter of you gave the ball away and you were just completely caught with your pants down through the middle of the field with that header. And it's not like I think whoever that was like, oh, I see somebody open in the middle. Like, I think he was just getting the ball out and it just ended up going to, like, the Spurs guy. Yeah. I think it's Kulusevski, right? Because I think he just took it and shot it.
It was Lo Celso. Who says get the last?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. He got, yeah. Yeah, that's, he got the curler. The thing with De Bruyne with me is you're talking about these players, Alvarez, Foden. You have to play Bernardo Silva. You almost hope Silva can do the Gundogan role, and because I think he's kind of a Swiss Army knife. You just gotta put him in a position to do that. But the problem is he's doing so many other things right now that. It's just hard for him to go be that guy, be that eight, you know, just, like, exclusively. If De Bruyne comes in, like, he's going to play. Like, it's not, like, who do you sub out, but, like, when you look at it, he's in. Who are you leaving out from Alvarez, Foden? You have to have some kind of winger. I actually think Grealish is better for Haaland than Doku is right now, just because I think they've been together more. And De Bruyne is really good for Haaland as well. So you obviously want him. But yeah, I don't think you can keep playing through Jeremy Doku if you have De Bruyne. And then I think he's just going to become like an option off the bench. In the same way that if this isn't working, if plan A is not working, then we go plan B and we just have Doku dribble by everybody and find another way through.
Yeah. I mean, even you look at it too, just the amount of chances that they generate in this is insane. I mean, it should have been 4-1 at, I mean, how many times are you going to watch Erling Haaland miss a 8 yards out, wide open part of the net? And I mean, you can blame the refs all you want for that abysmal, whatever the hell that just, oh, play on now. Like,
we'll yeah, we can talk about it.
We can talk about that forever, but I'd argue that, I think the Spurs fans at the bar were right when the last whistle blew. Holy crap, man. That was a great win for us today. Yeah. You know? And the City guy, this guy, it obviously feels more like a loss because you can dispute, this debate that call with Grealish. I think that game's lost in the first half. You know, not putting it away when you should have.
I think that's spot on. As the person who's lost three straight draws now, it's tough for sure. Like the Chelsea draw, the Liverpool draw, the Tottenham draw all feel like losses. I think you're absolutely right, Nick. Like, we're going to talk about VAR here in a second because I do want us to talk about these refs and then we'll get into our predictions. It could have been 5-1 first half. Like, it literally could have. And to Michael's point, we were talking earlier, he's like, the offense just doesn't look that good right now. We're in chances. We're creating chances. It's not going in. And obviously, I love Erling Haaland. I feel bad for how much stick our good friend Darwin Nunez gets right now, because there are some atrocious misses that the Norwegian guy is doing here that, like, just gets put under the rug because he scored 5 million goals. Like, it's just Yeah. That one he missed early in the game, Nick, that I'm sure you were watching because you're at the bar. Yeah. What the hell?
Brutal.
Like, how? How? Like, how does that? That was a Sterling miss. Sterling used to get those backdoor sliding across and somehow sky it from four feet out. And you're just like, how? You could have. I don't know.
He looks like an angry runway model at the end of the game walking off the field, too, with his hair. It's like, yeah, he's in there at Fashion Week in Paris, like, storming off. And whoever he shoulder bumped, and I'm calling it a bump, he just walked through somebody. Like, he saw his shoulder, like, barely moving. That person just hand goes in the air. He was... Yeah. He got some blood, bloodthirst there. The Viking was coming out hard.
You guys are going to get fined, for sure.
Yeah, that's fine. Michael, let's do VAR.
Okay.
Or let's not do VAR. Let's do referee or whatever we want to talk about.
Yeah. Because it wasn't actually VAR. We're going to start it now. The Anthony Taylor trophy for the week, and I hope I don't have to give this out every week because, God, it'll be a long list. Simon Hooper is... It's every time I see him, it is a bad decision. He doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. That, again, you don't know if Grealish is going to score, obviously, right? But that's, like, a clear and obvious... He's the last guy. He's on a break. There's three guys behind him chasing him down. I don't know what the thought process was in allowing play on and then seeing that ball get popped over to him, seeing him take a dribble and then calling it back, because one, I haven't seen like lines or anything on it. He looked onside from the replay.
Yeah, he was.
Okay. He was onside, so there's no way the linesman is communicating to him, I think it's offside, so pull it back so they get the advantage, right? Because they're supposed to keep the flag down and let the play happen for, you know, intervention of VAR if needed. I know they're human beings, and I'm getting to the point now where, like, I was watching Goldbridge when I was, like, getting stuff, like, cleaned up when I was here. And he's obviously a United guy, and he doesn't like City at all. Like, does not like them. So he's kind of playing it up a little bit, like it's about time that they got some of these calls. And I just don't think we can... I'm so anti-referee, I don't think, even if I kind of agree in a little bit of that, I don't think we can start excluding teams or excluding people because of that, because they're going to... Just wait. It could be any week, any game. Dylan knows all about it with Wolves. It is just atrocious all the time. Yeah. All the time it's bad. And Nick, it's never going to change. Like, it's not going to change.
Nick, I talked to Michael about this. I want your take. I think the refs have too much to worry about. I think that VAR should only... And we've talked about this. I know that you're probably going to agree with this. But, like, VAR should only be there for offsides and goal line. I think when you go into... subjective foul calls, that's impossible to get right and be on the good side. I think, okay, use it if someone is using force and they hurt someone and you want to turn something into a red card, sure, whatever. But, like, I do think that these referees have too much to worry about besides getting the call right. I think the call right on the field is now secondary. I think there's also, and Michael, you just said it, keeping the flag down for VAR, someone's going to get hurt when the flag's going to be down and the flag's going to go up and we're going to sit here and be like, this person didn't need to get hurt, because if we just called this offsides 5 minutes ago, then this wouldn't have happened. Like, there's
that's literally
like that
Pickford Van Dyke.
Yeah.
When Van Dyke got injured.
Yeah. It's insane.
That's very Graham Lasso of you there, because I think he said that about every week he's on there, but...
always do. They always say it.
I did turn to my friend who's a Spurs fan when that... Well, if I just go, wow, you're so fucking lucky. Like, you are so lucky that they just... That you got away with that. But we've talked about this. I've said it too with you. Like, I agree. Like, it should be as objective as possible, because with the Milner call, like, you're not there to re-referee, you know? And you... Yeah. No, it's what objectively can you do? You know, can you get stuff where you can say, hey, it was in or out? You know, if you're looking at goal at the end line, you know, like we talked about the Newcastle and like the Rashford thing like earlier in the year, like things like that where it's objectively over a line. Can you do that? But I think that the problem with it is that they're being trained. There is a lot to think about, but you're being trained to leave the flag down, or you know, play for, or let it roll through. They're okay with being re-refereed. I'll just let it happen. Someone will have my back. Like somebody else will do it. Like it's like the cheesy thing that I do when nobody picks anything up. I put a rake out in front of the dugout, and everybody walks over it, thinking, "Oh, somebody else will get it." And then I, it's a little mess up. I learned it from the guy that I used to coach for, and he just freak out about do it yourself. It's like this whole thing, but like it's exactly what it is. And like this is the baseball guy too. Kind of like you think about objective calls, how baseball does it right. Like robo umps are the worst thing that can happen, because part of the nuance and the fun of the game is the human element, where, you know, hey, that's 3 inches outside. Well, this umpire likes it outside, so throw the ball there. You know, or he's a low strike zone.
He's Angel Hernandez.
Yeah, right. Like, you know, whatever it is. And it's you can't re-referee it. Part of the beauty is the human element of error. And if you start to go back and re-referee it, you just make it worse. Like, people can say, oh, he missed it in real time. People can live with that ultimately because it's real time. Like, and as much as you'll complain and yell, people will know, like, all right, like, there'll be most people rush, like, it's live. You don't get to replay it. You saw how you saw it. So, and that's part of the fun of it too. Like, you got screwed by a bad call. That's how bonds of, you know, that's how moments and rivalries are born, like stuff like that. You know, like that's, think about how many times that's happened over the years. Like, I mean, you look at why England hates Argentina so much, like with the hand of God. Like, it's
there's some other reasons too, Nick. As a
I'm keeping this strictly soccer. I'm not getting into politics or anything.
Yeah.
But Falklands aside, you know, something like that. Obviously, the ref missed it. And it's got this unreal English-Argentinian, like, timeline of soccer games. You know, like, that's kind of awesome. Like, I mean, it sucks they lost, but, like, that's kind of really cool that that's where that originates from.
It depends on who you ask, right?
Yeah, I'm not English, so who gives a crap? But anyway, you know.
Michael, take us home. Last point, and then we'll get into predictions.
I completely agree, because, for instance, the Newcastle-Arsenal game. The out of bounds, okay, shout, the offside shout, and then the foul on Gabriel from Joe Linton, right? All not called. And the reason that everybody lost their mind during that was because they all thought it was a foul, and, you know, looked like a foul, in my opinion, too. But they're not sure, and they don't want to, like, unless they're positive or something like that, they don't want to re-referee the game and give a foul for that or do whatever. And I'm fine with that, because I can sit there and go, I can see it that it's a foul. I think it's a foul. But it's not clear and obvious. It's not like you see the ball go over the line. It's not, you know, you see it hit his hand or something like that, right? And I'm fine with that. But then you have moments like this where it is re-refereeing in the Milner case, for example. And again, I think that game was more egregious in terms of refereeing and VAR than the City one. But, man, when it seems like they don't know what they're doing out there, and I understand that they're probably nervous with how this year has gone to, like, make mistakes. But I agree that they have to think about way too many things. They have to be, conscious of all these different things. You have to shorten their list. Make it so that they just have to do X, Y, and Z, okay? And then once they're good at that, you can maybe try to reintroduce other things. But, dude, they're like, it's just the consistency is so bad across even the same day at different times or the same slots of games, like the 10 o'clock games are, you could have two exact handballs, one gets called, one doesn't. It's tough to watch, because at any given time, at any given week, it could just decide your game for you.
Totally agree. All right, City Tottenham tie. We still can't beat that fucking team. And that's just how it is.
I was sure you guys were going to win, too.
same. All right, let's get into predictions. Nick, 4-6 this week. Michael and Dylan, 5-5. I went 7-3. Michael's still in the lead, 83-57. I crept in the second, 80-60. Nick, third, at 77-63. Dylan sitting at 500 at 70-70. Interesting week. I'm not going to lie to you guys. When I filled this out, I got a handful of weird results that I think I may be changing on the fly here. First things first. Nick, you're going to step in for Dylan here. Wolves, they're hosting Burnley. Who do you got?
I can never be Dylan, and Dylan can never be me. I'm taking the Wolves here.
Yeah. All right. Michael, who you got?
I got the Wolves as well. Burnley, not a wagon.
Burnley, not a wagon. I got a draw. Not a wagon, but I got a draw. Okay. Luton. Arsenal's got to go into the Lions then of Luton. Michael?
Luton will never score, so.
Okay. I got Arsenal as well. Nick?
Yeah, we got Arsenal in a tight one. We'll give them a tight one, but Arsenal will pull this one out.
Pause. Battle of the Bees, not in the sense of the animal, but in the sense of the name. Brighton hosting Brentford. Again, I think this is a tough call. I got a draw. Nick, who you got?
Ooh. You know, I'm gonna stick with my future better half. I'm gonna take Brighton. I agree with you. This game could really go either way, and I'm just gonna, because how it's trending, I'm just leaning towards the home team, just because of kind of how the season's been trending a little bit.
Yeah, I know, that's what made me pause, Michael.
I got Brighton. I haven't looked. I think they're pretty good at home, pretty consistent. They did lose to Everton at home, so maybe not. But
Everton a wagon on the road, though.
That's true. You're absolutely right. So I got Brighton, though.
Palace. They're hosting Bournemouth. The most inconsistent, consistent team in the world, as Nick said, and a team that is revving up and looks decent, but it's on the road. Nick, who do you got?
I think I'm actually trying to do some really crazy math in my head here. I need to pick Palace so they can still. Nope, actually they no, that sucks. If Wolves win, they'll jump them. But then if Palace wins, I need Palace to win so they can stay at 12. So we're gonna go with Palace.
Okay, holy Michael. Shit.
No, sorry, I know.
I got Bournemouth.
Okay. I think Bournemouth's a safe call, too. I got a draw on this one.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
It's one of the toughest parks to play in.
Yeah. Selhurst.
Has not really been.
Hey, you relax. My good friends at FYP would tell you different. Fulham. They're hosting Forest. Can I be honest with you guys? I think both these teams aren't very good. I think Forest is a little bit better than not good, but they got to go on the road. Michael, who do you got?
I got Fulham because Forest have to go on the road.
Great. I got a draw. I don't know. I don't want to make a decision this week, and that's going to come bite me in the ass, but I got a draw. Nick, who do you got?
Yeah, I'm going Fulham too, just because I went away so aggressively the last two of the last 3 weeks, and that clearly did not turn out well for me, so I'm just going to go the opposite way. I have no real math, rhyme, or reason behind this one besides that.
I feel it. Sheffield United stinks. Liverpool's going to Sheffield United. Michael, in the name of Chris Wilder, how bad are you going to win here?
I want a 6-0.
Sixer. A little six-pack. I'd like to see it.
I want a clean... I just want a clean sheet. Just give me a clean sheet, please.
Nil-nil incoming. I got Liverpool on this one. Fuck you. Nick, who you got?
I think the bigger question is, what kind of hairstyle does Darwin Nunez come out? And does Michael and does Michael rock that hairstyle on the next podcast? That's what I'm curious about. But
listen.
I'm listening.
Just put my hand up here. I love that man. He needs to start finishing a little bit better, I would prefer. I don't care what hairstyle he has, if he scores goals. When he's missing, can't wear that.
Yeah.
Michael, he's going to put it, he puts in two goals this week. You got to put your hair in braids like he did for the next recording.
Morgan will happily do it.
Yeah. We'll make room in the budget for hair upgrades for you.
All right. Taking Liverpool, by the way.
Okay, perfect. Game of the week. I need City to not play in any more games of the week. That's also been bad omen for me. Villa hosting City. I got to stay with my guys. There's not a team here that I'm not going to pick City over at this point. So I got City. Nick?
I really, really wanted to pick Villa here, but I got a feeling that someone's going to have to pay for the last three draw losses. And I think, unfortunately, Pep's going to play the victim here. Pep's going to play the victim card in the locker room.
Real quick, I can
very easily see like a 5-2 drubbing.
Real quick, though, before you put your pick in, I want you both to know this because I'm a fair and decent human. No Rodri, no Grealish. They're suspended.
Grealish sucks anyway.
Okay. Sticking with City. Like it. Michael, who you got?
I got Villa.
Yes.
All right.
That's why he's
maybe
in first place.
Of that.
That's why he's in first place, people. That's why he's in first place, people.
Love it. All right, let's move on. I'm sick of talking about City. United, they're hosting Chelsea. Candidate for game of the week as well. Michael and I came together and said that the City Villa game is way more important. Nick, how are you guys going to do this one?
What time is that game?
I have no idea.
Oh, God, let me look this one up. Oh, 3:15 on Wednesday. That sucks. I got a huge meeting after school for a mental health. I'm organizing a mental health symposium at school in the spring. So it's a big meeting after school. So for my own mental health, I probably will just look at the result after the game and not watch. I'm leaving this to a gut pick. I mean, I'm going to take United very begrudgingly. Like, very begrudgingly. I could very easily see this being a loss. But at home, This is what I'll say. This is the game of the season right now for United.
Because
this is the game. If they win, okay, we'll struggle to battle to be somewhere 4-6 maybe by the end of the year. If we lose this game, I could see us finishing like 8th or 9th, hands down. Because I think if you lose this game, I think Ten Hag's got a lot of winning back to do, and it ain't about winning games, it's about winning the other things. So
hopefully you can offer your mental health information to your own club here, United. I got a draw, and this is crazy. I have 5 draws this week. This is the worst picking week I've ever had in my life. I got a draw. Michael?
As Nick said begrudgingly, I also begrudgingly, but I just have Chelsea.
Damn. Hate to see it. Everton hosting Newcastle. Michael?
Newcastle, please God. Everton at home, not a wagon.
Not a wagon at home. Well established. I got Newcastle as well. Nick?
I haven't made a bold prediction in a long time, so I'd like to throw this one on the board here. But before Christmas, Everton will be out of the relegation zone, and Luton will be 17th.
Before Christmas? 100%. That is 22 days away.
With that said, Newcastle.
Okay, good to hear. Tottenham hosting West Ham, last game of the week. I got Tottenham. I like Ange. I hate that they beat us in a tie today, but I got Tottenham. Nick, who you got?
Samsies.
Michael?
I got West Ham.
Love it. Hey, stick with it. A tough game against Palace this past week. They look great. I know that I'm going to get kicked in the balls for this prediction this week because my board with 5 draws says one thing to me. I'm playing not to lose, and that's not good.
I guess my smack talk on Instagram got to you. You know, I told you I'd go 10-0 and I didn't, but maybe I'm just playing the long game and letting you get a little lead to get comfortable just to jump you this week.
I won't lie. I was tuned in to that Everton game and tuned into that Chelsea-Brighton game because I knew those were the deciders for the week.
Yeah.
I was like, I gotta shove this back in Nick's face.
And I should have taken United. I should have known that was the result, but, you know, it is what it is.
All good. All right, that is predictions done and dusted. Dylan's not on the pod, so therefore we're going to skip out on the betting. I'm hoping we're going to get back into that into the new year so we get some good content there as well. Nick, are you picking up the mantle for this joke?
Of course I am.
Nick, are you looking up this joke right now?
If I could spell,
I got one.
If I could spell jokes correctly, yeah. Ooh. But if Michael wants to make his joke debut.
The younger brother syndrome popping up real heavy this pod already. Let's do it.
I gotta rep my guy.
Yeah.
All right. What runs around a soccer field but never moves?
A ball. That's stupid.
Offense.
Fuck.
Cheers.
The NAFTA Podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.